Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you what a week we had. You would not believe all the things that's happening in a small community like Benton Harbor, Michigan. But the first thing I want to talk about, there's a movement going on. I don't really call it a movement. I call it an hijack of the movement. You got these individuals who's pushing Black Lives Matter, but trying to sabotage. They had what they call a protest here. They was paying people to come to the protest. It is unfortunate that everything that Black people do, not everything, but most things, they find a way to ICE hijack it. Anytime that you can be bought, you can also be sold. They was trying to hijack the whole movement. They paid a few people to have the protest, but they wanted to turn it into something different. Not about George Floyd, not about Michael Brown, not about any of these things. They wanted to say that black and white is together and there is no racism. I know they don't believe it. But if they get enough people saying it, and these people start believing, now what they're doing, they want to get a mural of Black Lives Matter, but they want to put it in the middle of the community where black folks is, which makes no sense to me. I think it should go on the main road, right in front of Whirlpool Corporation. You see, if you're serious about this, it should be placed right at the bridge that divides the white folks and the black folks. Right there at the bridge in front of Whirlpool Corporation headquarters. Whirlpool has been known for racism. They have openly practiced racism and gotten away with it, like which most of them do anyway. They get away with it because they always found one or two black folks to support what they're saying. Just like the Donald Trump stuff that's going on. You know, anybody who votes for him, I would consider a racist. I don't care what you know, what your ideology is, it is, but if you vote for him, in my eyesight, you're a racist. There's no other way of putting it. And out here right now, paying people to do things that they should not be doing. And they're doing it. Like I said, they want to put a mural by Benton Harbor High School right in the middle of nothing rather than putting it where it should be. It should be placed right on Main Street. And also the name Main Street should be changed to Black Lives Matter. And also right in front of Whirlpool Corporation, which is also located on Main Street. That's where Black Lives Matter mural should do. We'll go right in the middle of the street. Right at the bridge. Because that's one of the breaking points. That's where you have one of the most racist cities in the nation, in St. Joseph, Michigan. And you have which is about 97% Caucasian. And then you have Benton Harbor, which is about 92% black. And that's where it should be right there. Because that is like the dividing line, which makes it such a beautiful thing because then you also have Whirlpool Corporation inside Benton Harbor. My idea is to make sure they know when you cross that bridge, Black Lives Matter. One way or the other. If you're coming through Benton Harbor going into St. Joe, you cross it. And if you're coming from St. Joe into Benton Harbor, you know that Black Lives Matter. You see? And all lives really matter. But at this time, Black lives are the one that's in danger. You see, Black lives are the one in danger at this point, because you could be coming home from the store, minding your own business, and a cop can come up to you and tell you your taillight is out and have his gun drawn, and you reach for your driver's license and he kills you because he said you were reaching for a gun and it would become justifiable homicide. That's right, because they are not going to convict a cop, even with the video, of actually killing. Very few times it happens. Very few times they're tried. But it's the people. See, the people have to take a stand. Until the people take a stand, it's going to be just like this, you see. And right now they got a kind of like a movement. But the movement's been hijacked. You know, it's all over the country, you see. Fooled me one bit. I knew they was gunning. Because they even tried to offer me a few dollars to have a protest. So Fred Upton, the heir to Whirlpool, can have a photo op with me. That is not going to happen. I don't care how much money you offer. That is not going to happen. Not him. Only way I'll take one with him, he have on a Klan's uniform. If he got on a Klan's uniform, I'll take one with him. And I'll put my arms around him. Until he do that, that would never happen. But good news is, today, on Tuesday, we passed out more than 300 cases of water to the community. Plus another 100 gallons of water to the community. We wanted to make sure that the people in Benton Harbor, Michigan, have clean drinking water. When it comes to water, Benton Harbor, water is poison. It's been killing people for years. That's the reason why St. Joe, Michigan, stopped getting water from here, from Benton Harbor. Also, Benton Township went out and built their own plant, so they did not have to buy water from the city of Benton Harbor. And, of course, Whirlpool helped them because it also cut down the revenue that's coming into the community. So it was a win-win situation for Whirlpool, because then the Benton Harbor elected officials, and that's another thing, you see, they're just a group of people who have no idea what they're doing. You have the lousiest mayor, and he's a Muslim brother. You thought that he would be better, but unfortunately, he's worse. Now he wants to be paid as the mayor of Benton Harbor. And he can get the votes. It'll happen. It is unfortunate, though, that we continue to fall for the okie-doke. That's our history. And then we wonder why we're in such a compromising position. Anytime you let people come in and redirect what you're doing, you're burying yourself. And that's why it was such a good day Tuesday to actually serve the community, regardless how they feel. I care less about their feelings. I more or less care about doing what I'm supposed to do. My job is to help people, and that's what I do. And here's something that's important. I want to really thank all the listeners. Last week, we had an overflow, not only call-ins, but also people who had downloaded the show. It was tremendous. And believe me, I appreciate you. Not for one moment do I try to take advantage of that situation, but I want people who calls in and speak. You have an opportunity to help these people. Help them. I mean, even a call here and there, every now and then, you know, you must do this because it's important. You know, when I speak of my TI family, you see, they pierce my heart because I understand what they're going through. You may not understand what they're going through, but I do. I've been dealing with the TI family for years. And I found them to be true. You may find, you know, you listen to them talk, you say, well, hold, they're crazy. No. This is actually happening. It's been verified, proven. But listeners out there, please help them. You can help. Let's figure out a way how we can stop this government from doing what they do. And remember, everybody is expendable. Don't get in your mind that you know, this stuff will never happen to you. When people talk, oh, that's them, that happened to them. It will happen to you. These folks will do anything. But if we work together, we can defeat them. If we learn to work together, we can defeat this monster. And on that note, I want to bring in my first guest, who I've been knowing for years. He was with me when I went to California, which he lived in California. And I got a lot of love and respect for this young man. And he's been trying for years to get the target individual family on one accord, one page, his wisdom, his knowledge, untouchable. And that's why I love this man. Derek, are you there? Talk to me today, Derek.
Yes, I'm here. Thanks, Reverend Payton. I appreciate those sentiments and likewise. Appreciate the opportunity to be here.
Absolutely. You know, I'm always happy to have you, Derek, because what you do, you give people, and they don't give you the credit that you deserve because you are one of the few. When you speak, people listen because they know you tell it what you're saying is the truth and how you have reached out to try to help people. I know it's a challenge dealing with my TI family, you know, and sometimes they'll drive you even nuts if you're not on your game. But what I want to do today, Derek, I want you to talk about something. Just talk about what you want to talk about, because I think that people need to know. They need to know exactly more about this. So, Derek, where would you like to start?
Okay. What I would like to do, Reverend Pinkney, is kind of give an update of some of the things that have happened since I was last here a couple months ago.
Okay.
My name is Derek Robinson. I'm president of PAX International, and PAX stands for People Against Covert Torture and Surveillance International. And for those of you that are hearing me for the first time, our mission is to assist and support targeted individuals worldwide in a variety of ways, mostly having to do with advocacy, raising public awareness, and networking. The issues that we deal with generally are organized stalking, which is stalking and harassment activity by a group which is targeting an individual, and electronic harassment, which has to do with the targeting of individuals with directed energy weapons or microwave weapons, similar to those utilized on the U.S. diplomats to Cuba and China recently. Nowadays, there is an umbrella term for all this activity coined by the Office of the United Nations Special Rapporteur on Torture, and it's called cyber torture. And we are starting to adopt this terminology in our conversation and literature. Cyber refers to the field of cybernetics, which studies the interconnection between computers and living organisms. Hence the term cyber torture, which is the torturous abuse of computer systems as applied to living beings. Today, I would like to present an update of what has been happening since I was here a couple months ago. And at that time, I explained the process that was involved in as far as how our community was able to connect with the United Nations Special Rapporteur on Torture, Nils Melzer, who has been assisting us lately with our issues relating to cyber torture. Mr. Melzer is a brilliant scholar who graduated summa cum laude with a PhD in law from the University of Zurich, Switzerland. He is an author of several books and a professor of international law at the University of Glasgow in Scotland. He is also an amazing advocate and humanitarian who takes to social media daily, reporting crimes against humanity around the world that simply defy words, speaking out against countries, including our own, who are blatantly and brutally violating the health and well-being of their citizens. As a result of our liaison with the Special Rapporteur via our colleagues in Europe, and his latest call for papers in late June, the Rapporteur's office has posted reports from several U.S. and international cyber torture victim organizations and individuals on their website for the education of the world community about our issues. And needless to say, this is a huge step forward for our cause. The UN Special Rapporteur's latest call for papers was in preparation for his speech before the United Nations General Assembly in October. In the meantime, in the United States, I'd like to share for a minute about a grassroots legal organization that has started recently. I had a meeting yesterday with some attorneys in our group for our PACS International TV program. And receive more information about this startup called the Legal Co-op. The organizer, his name is Ray Schumann, is an attorney in the San Jose area who has formed this legal entity, in his words, as the NAACP for targeted individuals. The idea basically is to bring individual litigation to court with solid evidence and preparedness due to hands-on coaching from a licensed attorney. Greater successes in court, such as recently acquired restraining order against a neighbor, will lead to more favorable precedents as our community begins the process of independent litigation. And then at this time, our community is preparing for July the 31st, and this is a day that will be observed across the globe as World Day Against Electronic Torture. We are in the process of organizing events for that day, one of which will be a gathering in front of the BBC offices in London, England. So these are all the latest events that have been going on in our community, which has generated a certain amount of optimism for the future of our cause and our community, Reverend Pinckney.
Wow, that's tremendous. And you say it's going to happen in London, huh?
Right. This gathering, it will be a rally in front of the BBC offices.
Wow.
It's going to be called the World Day Against Electronic Torture.
Absolutely. And one other thing before I let you go, can you talk about the no-touch electronic torture? Can you hit on that just for a little bit? Because we've been talking about it, but nobody really used that word, no-touch electronic torture. Just give me a few minutes of that and give me your thoughts on that and tell me a little bit about it. And I'll let you go because I tell you, you gave me enough already that people that are listening will understand exactly where we at and what we're trying to do. So just take a few minutes and talk to me about that, the no-touch electronic torture. Tell us about that.
Okay, well, originally the idea as far as the United Nations Rapporteur on Torture is concerned and how this became globally a term that people are starting to look at. It has to do with Julian Assange and the rapporteur's visit to his to where he's incarcerated in Britain. And they have found that, and he took some medical experts with him, and they were appalled at his mental and physical condition, that they found him to be in deteriorating mental and physical health because of the pressure and the isolation that he was enduring because of his publication of classified information from the U.S. government. So they found him to be in declining physical mental health, and thus this term, no-touch torture. And when the UN Rapporteur placed on his website a call for information about no-touch torture, which is a term that we in our community have been utilizing for quite a number of years to describe the effects of directed energy weapons that many are experiencing, particularly the U.S. diplomats to Cuba and China. They were experiencing this no-touch torture and the effects. And some instances have been just horrific. These weapons, the microwaves, can affect your brain at a distance. They can affect your heart at a distance. And many people have had heart attacks and have been taken out of here with these directed energy weapons, and no one has been the wiser. And these weapons, the importance of this is that they are now starting to gain some notoriety. People are starting to recognize that directed energy weapons exist, that microwave weapons exist. And because of the UN's involvement now, there was starting to there will be an investigation into the utilization of this weaponry, and hopefully the detection and arrest of those individuals that are utilizing these devices. And this is the importance of what the UN brings to the table. They have investigators that they can utilize to detect, to scour the communities where they might suspect this activity is going on. And they are in a position, they have the equipment, they have the expertise, the personnel, to eventually start to make arrests and prosecution of these individuals. And this is the importance of what they bring to this table, just great resources that we don't have. And it's amazing that this UN Special Rapporteur on Torture, when our community did sit down with him in February, they found that he had been briefed about this covert activity, and he was all on board. So we didn't have to educate him. We didn't have to browbeat him to understand the technology. He knew already, and he was supportive right away.
Wow. That is amazing, Derek. And listen, I want to thank you so much for the time and your effort that you have put in this. And you know, see, that's the difference between you and most people. Most people got an idea, but you actually know, and you're actually dealing with it. And, Derek, I want to thank you so much and let you know how much I appreciate you. Great job today. Let's talk soon.
Okay, great. Thanks very much for having me.
All right, that was my good friend Derek from sunny California. And now I got to bring in my other friend from, she's from everywhere. And this is Myra Carrier. I believe I'm pronouncing her name correctly. If not, she can correct me. Ms. Carrier, are you there? Talk to me.
Hi, Reverend. How are you today?
I'm great. How about yourself?
Well, I'm just in the boxing ring and very eager for this battle to be over. It's been going on for 25 years in extreme mode, and this all started back in the 70s. And because of innocent associations that my family had with other families who were unbeknownst to us involved in organized crime activities. My family coming up, I was in my teens at the time, but we were put on a monitoring list, my grandparents, parents, my siblings, other relatives. And in those days, they were tapping our phones and putting tracking devices on our cars and tails. And this has escalated through the years from mail tampering. And when I left my parents' home and went off out of state to college, it followed me there, although I was not aware of that it was going on until years later I realized. And then when I had my own home, it continued to escalate with mail tampering, phone harassments, entering into our homes, tampering, things disappearing. Then it went to phone stalking, where everywhere I entered, the phone would ring and someone would hang up. And this was all day long wherever I went. And then it every kind of stalking. There's a lot of different types of stalking, but what I really want to focus on is the energy weapons injuries, because my situation is so dire that I have a story that I think is representative of what a lot of people are going through, and some people are going through this. The sponsors of their terrorism may be weapons contractors, and they're just chosen for whatever reason. There are books and experts on the subject, credible people who have reported different governmental developments of different kinds of energy weapons and their use on the public. My situation, I think, is important because I think it would have weight in a court of law, and that is that my family was targeted by third-generation Italian mafia-sponsored organized crime. And we were targeted in the church. The church is a targeting arena, and there are gang stalkers in a lot of ministries, unfortunately. I'm a Christian person. I love the Lord, but I remember what the words of the Lord in the last days: deceivers will wax worse and worse. And that is so true. And it's been a great disappointment to me, because I built my life in the church and I raised my children in the church. And I can't tell you how devastating that was. But the Lord has seen me through. I had developed an inspirational ministry, LLC, Christian business. And the phony mafia ministers paid for that to be sabotaged, because one of the things that Michigan state law tells us is that energy weapons are used to interfere with a person's ability to conduct their business. And so that's done to sabotage a business so that there can be a takeover, or to eliminate the competition. There are also clauses in the Michigan state law that I have to dig further, but it looks to me like it has to do with real estate. I was driven from my home of 30 years. It was poisoned. It was with asbestos and pesticides, and my entire contents of my life, family heirlooms, antiques, all my office papers, prototypes, stock of my business, my furniture, anything that was fabric, and I had a collection of antique linens. Everything was destroyed with asbestos. I was driven from that house, and then two cars have been poisoned. The second car was poisoned with cardiopulmonary paralyzing substance to entrap me so that I could not escape. And there's many, many, many horrible crimes that I have gone through, state and federal crimes. The damage to my body has been so severe that I don't know how much longer I am going to be here to be able to testify. These are crimes that they took it to another level. People started to die under bizarre and strange circumstances, and on certain dates, and there were often two people, and I would always get something in the mail that was very similar to that person's death, or I started getting local newspapers, and they were there. It was very odd that all the circumstances to whatever crime was going on that week or month was in certain articles. I contacted the delivery persons, and they said, you have an anonymous gift. There wasn't a special. Somebody was orchestrating this, and I found out who it was. I would get many, many ads, advertisements in the mail from certain advertising groups, by the way, and whatever, if it was a medical card, it would be a photograph of the very part of my body that was about to be injured, or a lookalike of somebody who was going to be targeted. And this has gone on for years. But when we were targeted, it was paid for so that my family could be siphoned. They put Trojans in the family. They put Trojans in our neighborhood, in our churches, and groomed my children to have a trust in them, take them on road trips. There's a lot of crimes that are it's not just energy weapons. What they do is they target a family, and they use covert energy weapons to peg off the senior members and direct the inheritance toward the Trojans, and then try to peg off mom and dad. Most people are covert targets. I feel fortunate that I was an open target because I was able to identify the fact that I'm being injured. This is not arthritis. There's a tremendous amount. This is an industry of using energy weapons to cause physical ailments that simulate naturally occurring illnesses or decline, such as arthritis, narrowing and hardening of the arteries. Just a minute. For some reason, I'm getting a signal on my phone. Cardiopulmonary, cardiovascular health problems. And a lot of people will go to specialists and pay for a treatment when thinking they have a health issue, when actually it's covert energy exposures. And in my case, being an open target, I was in 2008, I started getting tortured and struck, and it took me a year before I learned what it was, electromagnetics, and then I knew that I was able to find support groups and a lot of information, and I was being struck in the chest and neck severely, and I had two minor children at home, so I went to my ER, rather than observing the state law and the fact that these are infamous criminals, and they're not, you know, and I had many links to them, I was put in the psychiatric ward instead. And that went to a challenge in which the state law was ignored again. There was inaccuracies They ruled out bipolar. They ruled out schizophrenia. They ruled out ADD. They couldn't pin anything on me, so they said I was delusional. I was delusional because I was trying to write a children's book that I felt could touch a lot of lives. Well, it's an Easter story. It can touch a lot of lives. That's not a big deal. So they took that statement, and because they had to cover themselves, and because I claimed that I was a victim of energy weapons that have been in development for 60 years, and they're historically and medically, I mean, you can't deny that they're around it. There's way too much information, and they're not. They are liable for this. And then I was forced in confinement while this challenge went on. And then that made it, it caused character assassination. This was all paid for. However, when I got out, then the real injuries occurred. In 2011, they began to butcher my body so extremely. And what I think the public needs to be made aware of is that energy weapons are not like conventional weapons necessarily, like guns or knives, that, you know, people, you don't need anyone there with energy weapons, and they don't just strike and kill necessarily. They're frequently used in a systematic and methodical manner of repetitive strikes and injuries, saturations. They can be very light exposures or extreme exposures, depending on the modalities, that they can cause shrinking, hardening, burn, sever, fracture bone, disintegrate tissue, and they can cause many, many disabilities. And I was a very strong, healthy, hearty person in 2011, and I'm now on a walker. I can barely walk or stand very long without having extreme pain. And I have sustained some very serious injuries. And the problem is that part of this crime is this is a racketeering crime. I went to another ER 7 years later. My eyeballs had been laser ripped. That's what I think it is. I'm not a techno geek, and I'm not an expert on energy weapons. I am a victim, so I have had to educate myself, and I do have some good information. I think it was a laser, but I don't know for sure. But my eyes, the top of my eyelids were ripped, and they were hemorrhaging. And I think the purpose was maybe, and I need to talk to a doctor about this, to sever connective tissue of the eyeball, because when a person is targeted as a medical, using a medical Manchurian format, such as myself, the entire body is compromised with different types of injuries so that a body is primed for execution. So there's a particular type of injury that's performed on the eyeballs, performed on the skeleton, and performed on the vascular system and cardiopulmonary system. And with me, there were several different things they've done to my body. The entire skeleton has been struck and microwaved and chipped and disintegrated. And I went from with the eyeballs, I'll start with the eyeballs. With the eyeballs, they would strike them, use some kind of energy to shrink them, and then some kind of energy to cause, I think, possibly the removal of connective tissue. I could feel it, but I'm not a doctor, so I don't know what's going on. And then disintegration of the bone. So what you have is extreme atrophy, hardening of the eyeballs, and the eyeballs, as they're shrinking, there's something, it might be in the infrastructure of the electrical system. That's what one scientist said. I have some excellent books, which I'll refer to in a minute. But the eyeball is shrunk, and it actually brings the eye forward, and they swell it. And I think when you have a small eye that has hardening and narrowing of the arteries, as well as the eye is hard, and swelling it with the type of energy they're using, I'm concerned that that is done to cause rupture and stroke. And that has been the threat from the gang stalkers, to give me a stroke and kill me. They have also disintegrated, just real quickly. Okay, I got postcards, and I got some magazines in the mail.
You got 3 minutes to tell your story, and then we'll have you back on. Tell us something that we need to know. Okay, 3 minutes.
Sure. I don't know how much longer I'm going to be alive. They've just done terrible things to my eyeballs. There is a real problem with political psychiatric abuse, with medical malpractice, fraud in diagnostic. It might be in the software. But this is a racketeering. It's all set up. They choose people. They crank them through. And they use these different crimes to control, contain, and cover up these terrible atrocities that are being performed. And I don't even look like this. I look like somebody in late 80s, as far as my skeletal structure and everything. And I was formerly, only 9 years ago, perfectly healthy, but energy weapons have just destroyed my body. And the problem is, people are not getting... there is extrajudicial participation with law enforcement. So I have had them file false reports on me and refuse to take report or investigate my crimes on every level of law enforcement, local, state, and federal. And then the horrific, horrific political psychiatric abuse that took place when I went to get help for my eyes. It was like a horror film. It would make a good horror film. The second time I went to ER with horrific injuries and the really serious crimes, these people at this other hospital, this is where the mafia sends people. They send them there with these injuries to get rid of them, and that's what they tried to do to me. But the Lord is my defense. The only reason I'm even alive this long has been the Lord. He has delivered me out of many terrible situations. But it's so important. This is cyber domestic terrorism, and the people who are doing this to me are from crime families, and they have infiltrated into the system. They've infiltrated into governmental departments, political positions, education, law enforcement, medical, in medicine. These are people who shouldn't be roaming free. They're psychopaths who network and hire people.
Absolutely.
And you know,
anyone
can be targeted.
Absolutely, absolutely. Listen, I want to thank you, but I'm gonna have you on because I know you got a lot to tell and a lot to say. I really, really appreciate that. You know, we had Derek on earlier, and Derek kind of like laid the foundation for this. But look, let's make sure that we get together soon. Let's talk, and you stay safe out there.
Love you. please keep me in prayer that the Lord keeps me, because they're really trying to kill me and to silence me, silence my testimony. And I keep confessing.
Amen.
They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And
absolutely.
So I would
thank
appreciate
you.
Prayer. Because and also prayer for medical help, because you can't find it when you're targeted. I've been blacklisted by the medical industry, and that's what happens.
Absolutely.
When you're targeted this way. Thanks, Rob.
We
thanks.
Understand.
Bless you.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you. All right now. That was my good friend. She's really need our help. So we're gonna have to reach out and touch her and do something for her, because there's issues that's going on with her that she need our help. But now I got to bring in my good friend from Slidell, Louisiana, the one and only Belinda Parker Brown. Belinda Parker Brown, are you there? Talk to me.
Hey, Pastor Pickney.
How you doing?
You know, I've been missing you. I emailed you earlier, and I don't know if you had a chance to look at it yet.
Yeah.
And I had to put these people over my knee here in Louisiana and spank them real good in that Democratic Party, because they're playing games, Pastor Pickney.
Oh, sure.
And what I want the people to know on your show today is that black, brown, white, Republican, Democrat, we're all frustrated and fed up with this type of treatment. And we're just not going to tolerate it anymore. So what we're saying here in Louisiana is that it's time to unite. It's time to unite the people, you know, because what I have realized over the years, and you taught me best, Pastor Pickney, is that divided we shall fall, but united we will stand. And we will win. They can't beat us once we all come together and gang up on them like they've been ganging up on us. So that's what I'm ready for. And if they want to go around, you know, and no offense to anyone, Pastor Pickney, but nothing matters until we all unite and come together for a cause. And that is to save lives. Because when we think about how this whole system is set up against us, it starts in the criminal justice system. You know for yourself, that was the devastating blow to destroy you and your family. But you beat them, Pastor Pickney. You beat them. But they had to put you in prison. They went after you in such a dogmatic way to destroy you and your family. But you rose against it, and you fought against it, and you won, Pastor Pickney. So what we're saying now is that we wouldn't have all the police brutality. We wouldn't have all these corrupt corporations and all of these people that's doing what they want to do, politicians, if we had a criminal justice system that would be fair in regards to how people are prosecuted, you know, how they are indicted, you know, and whether or not the criminal justice system is for all people. We know for a fact, we didn't learn the hard way, that the system is not the criminal justice system. People, I'm talking about your judges, your lawyers, your prosecutors, the sheriff, all of these people that are working together in cahoots to get a conviction, because prison is money. Jail is money. It's big business. And we cannot live in America where this type of corruption exists.
Tell it, Belinda.
So, on that note, Pastor Pickney, we're spanking them real good. I know we're out of time. And I had some of my friends that wanted to call in and weigh in on this discussion today. But like I said, it's time for us to put them over our knee and catch them with their drawers down and spank them real good, Pastor Pickney. They need a real good spanking. They need to be taken to the woodshed.
Absolutely. And here's something that the Democratic Party don't know. They going to mess around and lose this election unless they put forth a better effort and stop that bit stuff they've been doing before. It's the same stuff they did before they're doing now. And that's why they lost the last. Well, they lost all these different elections because of their stupidity more than anything else. So
stupidity and ignorance. And like yes. I told the people, is that President Obama, he came out and he supported Hillary. He endorsed Hillary. And Hillary lost. And what did we get? A Donald Trump. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
People better wake up and realize that this young generation is not going to tolerate the same old, same old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Joe Biden had 8 years, and he was 8 years vice president under President Obama, and they didn't do nothing. So, and I'm not trying to say who should have did what and when, but all I'm saying is that the young generation, they want fresh ideas, they want new faces, and they want new people, okay, with that's going to come in and deal with their issues and what we're facing in this world for the last 150 years, as far as I'm concerned, and they're not going to tolerate it. So if you had your chance, give somebody else a chance.
That's right.
Give
Amen.
Somebody else a chance. And it's not, and I'm gonna tell you, Pastor Pickney, they're gonna mess around, and they know Donald Trump, they know this president is causing a lot of problems. That
mm-hmm.
this man don't care. Far as I'm concerned,
no.
He's a grand wizard of the Ku Klux Klan. You know,
Absolutely.
The Ku Klux Klan is alive and well in this country. And we need to find out who and what divides us and who are these people so that we can get them out of office. Because as far as I'm concerned, they run in this country. And it's just a handful of them. It's just a handful of them.
Absolutely.
And they're beating us.
Absolutely.
And we're
Absolutely.
Standing back on the sidelines watching them do what they're doing to us, keep on putting the same old people. This corrupt, the Democratic Party in the state of Louisiana is a disgrace. It's corrupt, and I want the whole world to know. And that's the only reason why I ran for office for the Democratic Executive Committee on the state level and the local level is to expose them. Because a vote for our Democratic Party is a vote for Donald Trump here in the state of Louisiana. And I'm telling them, I'm exposing the chairperson, Karen Carla Peterson, I'm exposing her and all of her followers, okay? Because they've been selling us out. They look like us, and they're not for us, and they've been selling us out, Pastor Pickney, and we got to tell the truth about what they're doing to us.
There you go. All right, Belinda Parker Brown from Slidell, Louisiana. Listen, love you, girl, and keep up the good work that you're doing down there, and we're going to stay focused. And do what needs to be done because, hey, it's a hell of a fight. But here's the good news. We are going to win, Belinda Parker Brown. It's just
yes, Pastor Pickney, we're going to win because Pastor Victor is coming home. I got to let you
All
know
right.
the update on that. Hopefully by tomorrow we should have some good news because we done spanked them real good. They lost bad, and now they're licking their paws. They're trying to come back. But I'm here to tell you, there ain't no comeback for them, Pastor Pickney, because we beat them. We beat them,
Amen.
And we beat them bad, okay? They
All
took
right.
a licking, and they will not tick anymore because they've been whooped good.
All right. I got you, Belinda Parker Brown. All right, girl. Hey, I'm looking forward to Mr. Victor, and I will talk to you very, very soon. Take care of yourself.
All right.
All right.
Thank
now,
you.
Belinda. All right. That was my girl, Belinda Parker Brown, the one and only. But now I'm going to bring in my good friend, Denise Johnson. She was on before, and she had quite a story to tell. And people, those of you who are out there who can help her, let's help. All right? And on that note, Denise Johnson, talk to me.
Hi, Reverend Pinkney. I want to thank you again for bringing me back on. And I thank God for the interest after 12 years, after the murder of my son 12 years ago, when there was really very, very little interest in his life and what happened to him at San Jose State University. First, I would like to say that there are lots of students that are helping, reaching out to help, because they had no idea that this happened at the university. My son, Gregory Johnson, he was 20 years old at the time of his murder. I was called on November 22nd, 2008, and told that my son committed suicide. Not called, the police actually came here. The police in my city, where it did not happen, came here and notified me that my son had committed suicide by hanging. It took me 13 days to get his body to the funeral home here in Clear Lake so I could view him, so I could look at him. I knew that something was terribly, terribly wrong with the story that I was being told, and I was right. My son had a 6-inch crack on the back of his head, and his neck was broken all the way through. His head was resting on a little box, and when I moved it, his head fell backwards into my hand. That's how I knew it wasn't connected to his spine. This has been hidden. I want you to know, Reverend Pinckney, I asked about the Black Lives Matter issue, and from what I understand, the young people that are helping, that I am so grateful for help, they are using that as a promotion. We are not receiving any funds from anybody. Okay, I still do not have an attorney, but I do have an attorney on high, and he's looking. He's looking and he's watching. And I know that we are going to be successful this time. They lied about the murder of my child to protect the fraternity. He was in Sigma Chi Fraternity House. He had been a fraternity member for 2 years. They didn't tell the truth about anything. Anytime there's a suicide, you have to prove that it's a suicide. They jumped and skirted and lied and danced around the fact that my child was murdered in that house to protect 33, okay? There was one other black child that lived in the house, that was living in the house, but not at the time my son died. Okay, because they're trying to make a point, trying to make it look like I'm lying about one other black, my son being the only black person there. The other young man that was living there was black, but he wasn't living in the house. But that still doesn't negate the fact that they cracked the back of my child's head open. He was 8, and now they're trying to say that he was mentally ill. No, they're mentally ill, and they're murderers. And then you got 33 boys that walked out of there free, and a host of girls that were there when they killed my child. You got Jeff Rosen, the DA, who told me my son could have been walking around for weeks with a crack in the back of his head. You see, I've dealt with ridiculousness and stupidity from a police department that refused to even really ask any questions. That was San Jose Police Department and San Jose State. They gave me 63 pages of a redacted piece of garbage, and they called a report. They tried to say my son owed $4,000. That's why he killed himself, in student loans. Then he couldn't get a girlfriend. That's why he killed himself. Now he's mentally ill. You're dealing with some diabolical dog people, and they can't pay Denise off. They can't give me enough money for the life of my child. I have struggled all my life. I've been a nurse's aide for the majority of my life, and I worked hard to get my kids to where they are now. And they took one from me, and I will never forget it. You cannot pay people. But if you can get paid for that, they can pay you for anything. They can cut off your head and pay you for it. They cannot pay me enough money. There's no, but I will stand, because I and the other students that are involved, let this university know, though Gregory wasn't the first one.
Yeah.
Okay, and since he died, he hasn't been the last one. Because once you let dogs act like dogs, they continue to be dogs. These people killed a 20-year-old young, gifted black man because his life didn't matter to them. Now, this George Soros with Black Lives Matter, I don't know nothing about that stuff. Okay? And I don't care anything about it, because I know who we got to answer to, just like all of us. They killed my child at San Jose State University, and they're continuing. The police shot a young Latino man in the back. I'm almost 70, so he's young to me. In the back. Well, basically, walking down the street. Now, can it happen to your child? Well, guess what? If a child can be raised and become a minister at 6 years old and go through the church, okay, which what we thought was legitimate, because some folks ain't doing right in the church.
That's right. Say it.
If he can be raised and then excel all the way. He excelled from Head Start all the way to San. He went there as a scholar, and he was still a scholar, making A's and B's. He had one C. I sent you the paperwork, Reverend Pinckney.
All right.
He was going to be a doctor. Yeah, if that could happen to a child like that, because the scripture says train up a child, and he was trained upright. And he was living right, trying to do right. Now, all the particulars of fraternities and all this stuff, I didn't know at the time. No, I would have begged him not to get in a fraternity, because now I understand the logistics behind that, but I did not before. I tell you, I'm almost 70 years old, so a lot of stuff I don't understand. But I do understand if a child that can be raised like that and do well all his life and end up with a cracked skull in a university that didn't help do, they helped do nothing. They didn't want to help bury my child. They helped, no insurance, and he had insurance. Nothing was done. They said nothing, but they talked about him. They talked about his family. That's all they did. And if that can happen to that kind of child, yeah, it can happen to yours. Keep your children close. Because things are not what you
Ms.
think
Johnson,
they are.
That's right. Ms. Johnson, you said that they was the university was talking about your family?
Pardon me?
Did you say that the university was talking about your family?
The fraternity, which is a part of the university. Okay?
Right. Uh-huh. Right.
No.
Wow.
No. They have said that Greg owed money. Well, the police said Greg owed money. The campus police. Now, isn't that a part of
that
the university?
Everybody go to college owe money.
$4,000.
Yeah.
They made up every kind of ridiculous excuse they could find, because they could not prove killed himself, because he didn't. All the records. The FBI, the records were withheld from me. I still have, after 12 years, I still have only a 63-piece, 10-page report, redacted report, campus police report. The FBI had 300 pages. They refused to give it to me, said it was a matter of national security, although my son didn't work for no government.
Right.
Okay, they had pictures. They wouldn't give it to me. My son, his death. They joked about it. When I called the coroner's office and asked why, what happened to his head, Claudine
at the coroner's office, and she was a black woman.
Mm-hmm.
She told me, she laughed and said, oh, well, maybe they pulled his head off.
Hmm. Wow.
Oh, yes. It can happen to your children at any school. At none of these schools should be reopened. None of them.
Mm-hmm.
They're not teaching them, and they're not protecting them.
Mm.
You got police officers out there that are not even drug tests, and they're acting like crazy wild animals.
Wow.
Killing black people on sight.
Mm.
San Jose PD, city police knew that they killed my son. And they sent the information officer to talk to me, and he laughed and said, well, nobody from San Jose PD, city police was there. Lied. That's all they did was lie.
Wow.
So this is not just for my child, because my child's in a better place. Better than this crap.
Mm. Absolutely.
This
Absolutely.
Is for every child. Every
Absolutely.
University child. Nobody in that, nobody should go to that school. Nobody. Not with the Board of Regents. Janet Reno is on the Board of Regents, and she's a creep. She's a crook.
Mm. Mm.
She's a crook. That school should be, and the fraternity sure should be, not be there. That's a house of death.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're still rolling kids in there.
Mm.
Oh, yeah, it can happen to your child. And if you think not, you're a fool.
Mm.
Yes, it can happen.
Do they still have the same dean that was there 12 years ago, or do they have a different one?
No. Most of the teachers, now they have a movement, even from the teachers there, that are questioning this particular case in particular. But other things, they have been fighting. Because when you got cancer and you don't address it, the cancer just grows over to every limb in your body. And they've been fighting down there. There's racism down there. There's racist groups running things down there. And all they were interested in is the money count and the reputation. That's all they was interested in.
Mm-hmm.
That's all they were interested in. And the police are acting like animals.
Wow. And San Jose got the nerve to have a picture of Smith and Carlos right in front of right in the milk. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Got the nerve to have a statue of them. You know,
Yes, sir.
We should ask Smith and Carlos both to have them to take that statue down. You know.
That's right.
We go
take it down.
Yeah.
Because what does it mean? What is it representing? They have done nothing. It's worse. In fact, I'm a child of the '60s. Okay. As far as I'm concerned, it's worse now than it was in the '60s.
Mm. Listen. Why don't we try to contact Carlos and Smith? And get them involved with this. I didn't think about it before, but I think we need to contact
everybody and anybody that can help.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
We think we're sending our children to get a better life, and we're sending that. I thought, and this is one of the statements on one of the posts the young students did for me. I thought I sent my child to get an education, and they sent him back in a body bag.
Mm. Wow. Wow. You know, it's so amazing, Ms. Johnson. I tell you, let's talk during the week. And listen, you got about 2 minutes. Tell us what you want people to know. And listen, let's talk. I'm gonna make sure I call you during the week so we can talk and do some strategizing, because you know I'm really, really busy, but I'm never too busy for you. And let's see what you do. You got 2 minutes. Tell us what you want us to know.
We have a petition out there to be signed that's going to the Governor Newsom, we ask you to reopen this case that was never properly investigated. Release all the records, all the pictures. They never proved my son committed. Never. It wasn't because they didn't have any proof. He was murdered. Release all that information. If you go on Twitter, if you go on Instagram, there are posts, Justice for Gregory Johnson Jr. Who killed Gregory Johnson Jr.? The story has been here for years and years and years. And, yes, it's an old story because this is not the first time they've killed a black man and said he killed himself. It's time is up. Time is up for this. It's over. No.
Wow.
I do not forgive. My life has been hell. I will never forget and never forgive. The story is out there. Please get the signatures out there. We need the signatures. We need the attention. Okay. And we need an attorney who's going to do right, who has the power and the ability to do right and not get paid off.
Absolutely. Wow. Ms. Johnson, listen, let's you and I talk during the week, and I'm going to make sure that we talk and find out exactly how we can help and do a little bit more. And I do have a lot of friends in San Jose. I have people listening from San Jose, and let's see what we can do. Listen, I will be talking to you during the week, and listen, take care of yourself, and you're always welcome on the show. Anytime you feel like saying a few words, you got it, because I'm going to do everything I can to help and do and make this thing happen, because we need all the help we can get. On that note, Ms. Johnson, we will talk very soon. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Reverend
Peasy. All right. That was Ms. Johnson. Those who are out there listening, please help her. We need help. We're looking for you to help right now. We're in a war. You know, a lot of times people don't see it, but we are at war. And we're going to win this war. You see, we are going to win this war. And that's a promise. It's not a say-so. On this note, I'm going to bring in my good friend, Gloria, and she's going to talk a little bit to set the stage for Amy. Gloria Wilbur, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend Pinkney.
How are you doing today?
Greetings to the listening audience. I'm good. I'm very good. Wow. That breaks my heart, Reverend Pinkney, when I hear her speak like that, because I have three grandchildren. And, you know, you look towards someone else's future, like, oh, that's where my grands can go. But it's frightening out here. It's scary.
It is.
And we all have to play a part, all of us. We have to find out who's running for office. What do you believe in? Are you a part of this? Because, Reverend Pinkney, this is so big. I'll tell you, Amy would call me, and she'd be down this road. She says, Glo, listen. And it's this, this, that, this, that. Then it would jut off into this direction. And everything a young lady was saying on your program today, Amy has pulled out. She was talking about real estate today. Amy found the real estate, how they're involved in the real estate, and they're using their birth date as a signature as opposed to writing their name down. And she was able to pull all of these numbers together, and we have a roadmap to a hanging if we can find the proper judges and attorneys, because like the young lady said too, they told her she had a delusional disorder. That's what they told me. You have a delusional disorder. I said, well, how can I have one? I work every day. That didn't matter. That's what they put down. That's what they wrote down. Everything everyone has said today, Amy has a roadmap to it. And we have to support Amy and her efforts, because this has been a long time coming, Reverend Pinckney. For several years, I walk out of my house and wonder, is this the day I'm going to die?
Mm.
What a way to live.
Mm.
What a way
wow.
to live. And I don't, I wouldn't want this on my worst enemy, Reverend Pinckney. And people that are there listening, you have an opportunity to help. You really have an opportunity to help. You have to start asking questions and saying things, letting people know, I know. I also know what's going on. I know what Amy knows. And that's the campaign we have going on now, because they're trying to take our soldier down. They're trying to take Amy down. When she showed me the pictures of her, I almost, well, I did cry. But I still, when I look at those pictures, how can they do it? What kind of human is this? What is this that's doing this to us?
Wow.
Thank you for listening.
All right, well, all right, now, we'll talk soon. Hey, that was my good friend Gloria. And now let's bring in Amy. Let Amy tell her story. Amy, are you there? Talk to me.
Yes, I am, Reverend Pinckney. Greetings to all. Now, before you hang up, I want Mrs. Denise Johnson to hear my phone number and call me, because I have a plan of action for her, too, because I'm going to connect her up what happened to her son. I can talk about me today, but I'm going to say a little bit to let you know it's all about all of us. It's not just me. I'm just one of the people that have connected ancestry genealogies up of vital records. Now, if anybody know about the straw man account, it is connected. I'm telling you right now, it is connected to cybernetics, mind warfare. Now, what we are working on doing, we are working hard to file indictment charges on every cybernetic mind controller. Any mind control case studies. Now listen up, Mrs. Johnson. Any case studies that links to satanic rituals in universities that we are going to link it to. We're going to trace it and track it straight to cybernetic mind warfare. Because these former university scholars and doctors with their PhDs, I want you to know, Mrs. Denise Johnson, that them individuals know about this mind control warfare. They can send a signal to them 33 boys and have them do a ritual on Gregory Johnson's body. Because if you know anything about fraternity, all of that was built on masonry, a secret lodge of a secret society that they no longer care if you know or not. Why they don't want you to don't care if you know or not? Because they feel they powerful than us. Well, the people have to stick up and show that these fraternities is connected to them presidents, that families like President George Herbert Walker Bush Jr. and Sr. are CIA. The son is still alive. He can be charged for what his father was doing. All of these other congressional members and presidents like Obama, they know they are a part of the skull and bones, and they are these Illuminatis, and that you can't get a role in Hollywood unless you are part of the Illuminati society. You are a Black Boule. You are a Rockefeller. You are a Rothschild. You are a DuPont. You are a any of them 13 families, agents. Is the people who run in the universities, the medical hospitals, the laboratories, and they are financing cybernetic mind warfare. And the head CIA doctor is Dr. Robert Duncan, who is, I'm reading, I suspect he is a bloodline member of the Rockefellers as well. All of these people, regardless if they don't have the same name, they are some type of way, some families, and what they are doing is they're using their offset name, or what you would say, a call an off-brand name. They will use a name like Jonah R. Mantranga, who is a relative of William Avery Rockefeller, that is his great-great-grandfather, and that's the only reason why he can walk around in the streets of San Francisco, because he know he if he wasn't if he knew if people knew he was a Rockefeller and he was operating these weapons and torturing me with his 25-year-old daughter that's born 33 years different than my cousin, my first cousin, Lamar Easley, Hannah Sage Mantranga, Jonah R. Mantranga's daughter, is born the same date of the vital record of my cousin, my first cousin, Lamar, so Easley. So what I'm saying is what the other, a targeted individual who said that the Italian mafia is after her, she is correct. She know who it is, and she also know that it has something to do with numbers, ancestry genealogy, anthropology, and also the study of human life, and using them high powerful space-based instruments that it would only be able to just them instruments, space-based instrument and weapons that would is high powerful telescopes that could see out in distance and distance miles away. They using that same device to hack into people's minds by programming these software machines with the people's DNA and know how to locate you as a form of forensic. It's high-tech science of innovative forensic studying the ancestry genealogy per person to understand the behavioral patterns of each person's behavioral patterns and how they are articulated and what type of mood swing to tamper with to cause the person acting out and what they can do. Easily blame it on the rain. I don't mean the rain, but I mean the chemtrails. I mean the particle beams. I mean the things, the chemicals they spraying up in the skies in them airplanes, and we breathing them particles in. They know these agents of this cybernetic technology know that them particle beams is dropping on everything from the sky on the earth and in absorbing not just into the skin, but we breathing it. We eating the foods that they know that people on the harvest and the crops, and that's another reason why they want to alter our foods, because you know once you alter the food, it's like eating something that is not alive and nothing good for the vitality, vitality rate of any substantial medical prescription that's natural for the body, nutrients for the body. And like I'm fighting to get words out, these individuals are using that microwave auditorium hearing effect on my body. It's called V2K, voice to skull. Well, while I'm speaking, they can interrupt certain words what I'm saying so that it would seem like I'm long-winded or fighting over words, but it's what is happening to my body because of the frequency signals able to channel into my brainwaves, interfere and communicate with me as if somebody was standing behind me and saying something to me, but actually they saying it through me with the microwaves directed energy weapon.
So it's just channeling like a radio frequency of a signal where you hear the broadcaster on the network, but instead of hearing them, they are channeling using that high science of network broadcasting over a bandwidth and channeling it into the brain waves of people. And because I know it's a binary bandwidth of a musical tone that has my frequency of a signal, radio frequency signal coming to my body, it's just it's like it's a repellent to harm me, to try to harness and govern what I would say and think. It's just like somebody then arrested your body and made you an enemy of the state. And so when you go to people, it's like you speaking to people on deaf ears, because people are not supposed to believe these type of horrific experiences that you would only probably hear in the movies or see on the TV, or see in the movies and hear on the TV that these type of people would tie a person up. And kidnap them and tie them up and take them away from everybody at a remote location where nobody can get to them, and they have their way with your body. That's what it's like living with this cybernetic mind warfare, where you are kidnapped from your own body within, but with the people doing things to you from a remote location, but where you are, but doing things with advanced holograms. And to use plasma energy. Plasma energy is, if you read up on plasma energy, it's a form of microwave energy. And if you know about plasma energy, let me give you a little insight on what plasma energy is. It's electromagnetic energy. But have you heard of the concert of, they do those hologram concerts, and although the person is not physically there, you see an imagery of them, an immolation of them. Well, that's what is actually tormenting all of the my skeletal system, like the targeted individual sister had spoke and said that the skeletal system of her was arrested and tampered with, and they used different techniques to break your body down and have you weakened and incapacitated. You know, and I know, that's Army intelligence techniques. So to do those things to people's bodies and have them under some type of incapacitated lockdown mode of being able to have access at their bodies, that is illegal to harm, to be able to have that type of power access at people's bodies, at their systems, at their nine solar systems, with a radio wave, microwave weapon of a high tech frequency with a high tech telescopic telemetry device, where that device is allows these individuals to see on their computers your brain activities like a computer, on like the same way you would see a heart monitor or a sonogram, when they put that gel on the woman's stomach, on the mother's stomach of the baby, and see the baby and what the activities of the baby is going on. That's what the microwave energy does for them on their computers, where they see all of our brainwaves activities, what goes on with it, and they know they can input and output some information with it's called teleporting. Teleport thoughts into our minds is artificial telepathy, where they're using our skull as that radio, as that TV, as that monitor, and they're using our frequencies, what we think and do and say, and they are channeling into them, and they're altering our behaviors, and they're having us experience unnatural thoughts, patterns that is not naturally, but is coming from them, from some demonic patterns of the way they think, and their brain waves are different than our brain waves, because our brain waves think logically and and more godly, but we are not perfect, but we think godly. But these individuals don't want to think godly, and they don't want to perfect to be good people, themselves to be good people. They want to be demonic because it gives them a form of power that they can see people suffer, that they can see people cry, that they can see people die, that they can see people not be able to eat, that they can see me wake up every day in a puddle of sweat where they melt in my tissues, fatty tissues, where if I'm constantly sweating, how am I going to keep some fat on my bones and my meat and my mass and my muscles and my mass if they study frying on my fatty tissues and cooking them and keeping me sweating all the time? I don't need a gym. I need some weight. I need some fat.
Amen.
On me. And I need something to help me stop them from harming me. So I need to connect up with that other sister you had on the show, and I need to connect up with Mrs. Denise Johnson, because I know somebody last night was on Empress Filet show, and he was talking about his daughter, and I think you had him on your show too, about his daughter was with Army intelligence. She was in the military, and then
yes,
they cut
right.
her tongue out and cut her head off, and then act like they didn't know what happened to his daughter. And then they said something about a lesbian was supposed to did something to her because he was mad because she didn't want to sleep with her, and they kidnapped her, and the FBI didn't want to give them information, and the Homeland Security and the Army Intelligence, know this is their technology. So I want to hook up with Mrs. Johnson, and I want to hook up with that other whistleblower that know about the Italian mafia, because I'm going to expose the Rockefellers, and I'm going to expose Jonah R. Mantringa and Hannah Mantringa, his mother, how she had my mother in the research program because she took on what my mother had, my mother's mother on the research program,
Amy,
and it was five generations back
Amy.
To 1700.
Right. Amy.
So, yes,
Amy.
Yes, yes.
We have just ran out of time. Why don't you give out your number real fast, and we don't have any
okay,
more time.
Okay, yes. Okay. Thank you, Reverend Pinkney. 510-255-9019. Please call me, Mrs. Johnson. Please call me, whoever need to call me. I need to talk to the other whistleblower because I have something to tell you about some Italians I know about in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. Amen. All right, so we have ran out of time. Next week, same time, same station. We will talk to you all soon. And my good friend Lee, I didn't get to you today, but I got you next week. On that note,